Today's episode is sponsored by Dunsoft Gamers. Dunsoft Gamers is the leading distributor of video games and other consumer gadgets like the podcast microphone sets, ring lights, headphones, and affordable smartwatches, and many other cool gadgets. For these and more, visit their website at www.dunsoftgamers.co. That is www.dunsoftgamers.co. Mujevale. My name is Bane Kibuka, and welcome to another episode of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Welcome back to another episode on the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. I'm so excited that I have this opportunity to just come before we release a new episode and just come talk about the podcast and talk about what's going on the podcast. So most of you know that the Ugandan Boy Talk Show was nominated in Uganda, the podcast influencer of the year in Pulse Uganda. It's exciting. It's exciting that we're part of that. It's exciting that we're nominated. It's exciting that people got to know about the podcast through this voting. So there's a lot of the good things that are coming with this. So, and I want to thank each one of you that took time to vote. Everybody across the world, everybody. I would get texts from my friends in Mexico, all over the place. I'm not going to start mentioning country names here because I'm going to forget some, and I know I will. So I'll stop at that. But I want to thank each one of you, and I want to send a special shout out to my family and friends in my hometown in Wakiso Town Council. Abantuwe Wakiso mwe namba tumideko nyo mwebali, kumbedeo, mwebali kuiwa mwebidi, mwebali kuronda, messages on Nanzifuna. So that message is just special to my people in Wakiso. I'm super, super excited about each one of you guys but across the world. So the podcast is there. We're nominated, and the results are actually coming out tomorrow. So we're going to wait for the results and see what happens. And like I said in the beginning, I didn't start this podcast because of the awards. I didn't start this podcast because of money. I didn't start this because of anything. I started this podcast because I love it. And I looked at it as an opportunity that my friends, my family back in Uganda will have a platform that I will use my voice to send it out to the world. And like I shared a few weeks ago, that my podcast has been a platform for like stories of kids who want to go to school, kids who need medical attention. And God has used people who listen to this podcast to help those people. So this is the reason why I started the podcast. But if we get the awards, we're thankful. And if we're not going to get, if we don't get the awards, we're still thankful. And that's not going to end my podcast. That's why you see I'm still doing what I used to do with or without the awards. But yeah, we're looking forward to that and see what happens tomorrow. On the podcast, that's what's all going on. I have a lot of guests that I'm going to bring in the coming future. We're going to record more episodes, so be on the lookout for those. A lot of interesting stories. And without wasting time, I don't like to talk a lot because I know, I like to talk a lot. But during the introduction part of it, I just don't like to talk a lot because I know we just want to go and listen to the new episode. And this is an episode that I recorded with one of my favorite guests. It's different than any other episodes I've had on the podcast. And this one is about food. A lot of people like food. And when we were growing up in Uganda, we didn't really think culinary or catering. I mean, catering was a career, but culinary could be a career. People look at it as a failure, like somebody didn't go to school. And a lot of people have shared this on the podcast that when growing up, we only thought about the white-collar jobs that we think that's a career, like being a doctor, you know. We thought that avatars from people who didn't go to school are the ones that are going to make food. But that life has changed today, that it took a different trajectory in life, that people actually like good food. People are actually making a lot of money just making food and designing food. And this is not just food that you put on a plate. This guest here, he tells you how you can bring life to what is on that plate, not just food. So we talk about that, and we talk about his institute where he's teaching other people to make these foods. So we go in depth of a lot of things. And if you love food, you're going to enjoy this one. We had a little bit of trouble when we were recording about internet. So in the first few minutes, 5-10 minutes, there might be some internet issues. Not very much, not a lot. You'll be able to catch up with the story, but just a heads up. It gets better after the first few minutes. So stick with it. Go through it. And towards the end, or not towards the end, but after those first few minutes, it gets better. So yeah, I just wanted to let you know about that. And yeah, let's jump into today's episode. Let's enjoy this one.
I'm excited to have you on the podcast. Yeah, I think you followed me for like some time, and then I've been looking at your page ever since we followed each other, because I think I followed you back on your 7-star chefs, and I was really interested in it and just looking through what you guys do, and I picked interest in it, and I was like, oh, maybe one time I'll get to host one of these guys to my podcast. So Mr. Aaron, my name is Bonnie Kibuka. I am the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. I think I told you a little bit of how I started my podcast and what I do on the podcast, but it's basically during COVID, I started a podcast to just share stories about people, especially people from back in Uganda. I live in the United States, but I felt like there was need to share stories about our lives, like a lifestyle, like what we do. And that's why I set a podcast, and I started by just sharing my own stories. But then I was like, oh, there are other people who have stories that these stories can impact another person's lives and like what we do, our normal lives. So that's basically the small bit of how I set the podcast and well, how I have it going. So welcome to my podcast, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's an honor.
So mainly it will be about what you do. But before I ask people what they do currently, I like to dig in a little bit about like their background. So if you don't mind, would you mind sharing like your name and where you're from?
My name is Aaron Akira.
I think we have a Wi-Fi problem. I think there was a problem in the connection. Yeah.
Co-founder. I love to say this a lot, that I am a food lover.
Okay.
But be a God lover as well, because most of what draws my inspiration is just to relate with God more, transfer that into what I do on a daily basis, you know, everything that I do from that aspect. I'm a married man as well to a beautiful, gorgeous wife.
Mm-hmm.
And shake it, baby. wife and with so many children. And I'm in Kampala, just go home from work.
That's exciting. Sorry, I apologize for the connection. We had a little bit of problem with connection, but I think I got most of like what you talked about. Yeah, it's exciting. The wife is right there, because I had you say
she is. She's right.
Yeah, okay.
There.
All right, pass my greetings to her. I know I don't think she wants to be on the camera, but just tell her I said hi. But yeah, it's exciting. And it's exciting that you made it a point to say you're God lover. Like most of people are afraid to say that, or in public, or even to publicize their love for God. But you mentioning that means a lot. For me too. I'm a person who loves God, believes in God, and it's something that I put forward in my life, and God leads the way. But also, like I mentioned about like the food, I wanted to ask you a question. Like, when did you realize like you were a food lover? Like when you knew your love for food, what was the first time you knew you were a food lover, and what made you fall in love with the food?
Ooh, this started with my mother.
Okay.
And something at the door for me and our family. She got so involved in hotel business way early in time. And we used to look up to her and how she used to, you know, get all these really tasty bite-sized pieces back home for us to, you know, in flavorful things that would get you to always want to recon on and try someday. one of the first things that caught my eye was when I saw her make pineapple jam. I was about 10, and I saw her make pineapple jam from scratch, cut it up, pin it up into the syrup, and later putting it in a jar, storing it in a fridge, you know, this every single hour of the night. Like, would sneak into the fridge to dig up into this jar. And this literally gave me an awakening of, hey, come on, there's much more to you. So along the way, the Ugandan, you know, education system doesn't support lots of the culinary industry. So back then, as, you know, a failed entity, you'd be called a failure, you'd be called somebody who didn't try, you gave up on life, and then you're thrown into this field. But now, oh my God, now everyone wants their hands made. Everyone wants to go. Everyone wants to put on that talk on their head, that jacket, and feel like, yo, I'm a chef.
I'm glad you shared that. Like you mentioned that, like how people think when you go into cooking or like the vocational training, they think you are a failure. They think that's not like really successful career. You know, like they think, oh, they think everybody is supposed to be like a lawyer, a doctor, a nurse. Like, then they're you're successful. Which actually, I've hosted two guys on the podcast. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Mr. Mosinguzi, who is a content creator now. He just makes videos of like tourism and stuff like that on YouTube. And another lady, Nabs, she's doing the same thing in travel and that. And they have made a career through that. But you're mentioning that, like, that's how all the mindset was like. Like, if you're doing anything besides the doctors, well, you're a failure. But it's really not a failure if you look at it in this generation. And like, a lot of people now love good food, and like, it's, you make a lot of money doing culinary. I have one of my little cousins, and he's also like, his mother was a cook. She was really good, and she used to work for some organization, and this kid picked up his passion for cooking from his mother, like you said. And this kid has pursued, he's still on his journey to pursue that, but that's why he went actually to LDC, and he did all his testing and stuff, and he told me, Barney, I don't feel like this is me. Like, my passion is in cooking. And he left LDC, and he's now like trying to pursue that and find a career in that. And that's really cool that that you came up with this institution, the institute, the Seven Star Chef Institute. So what pushed you then to start an institute? What was behind that?
Well, this was a long time project that my wife and I had. Firstly, I studied culinary, or what people call gender, and I got so very interested in finding the best institutions in Uganda. What I had. So in my early days, all we had was like, Kenya had places like Kotali, Kenya had places like Boma, IHT, and many more. When you come to Uganda, I won't mention them, but they had different places that were offering this as a program. And I was introduced early into the world of food production. Got employed at my campus level, started up as a steward. If you may not know, this is like the lowest position in the kitchen. So went in, did what I had to do. And then one day, this guy that worked with Gordon Ramsay into the hotel as an executive chef. And so when he walks in, he fires me five times. This guy like threw me out five times. And he kept on telling me, get out, I don't want this.
Where was this at?
From Bella Serena.
okay. You're never going to mention the name, but that one is nowhere.
I think that's a safe one. I won't mention the rest.
okay. So, yeah.
I got fired five times. And when I got fired five times, it kind of encouraged me to come back. And so this guy sees me and he goes like, yo, I'm going to promote you for just one thing, for your resilience, your persistence, your consistency, wanting this job. I have sent you out and you've always come back. You've proved to me that you want this more than I wanted. That's why it all, you know, it set a spark in me. And I thought, wow, how many of me are out there? You know, how many of me are out there that I'm not going to have? So I went into that space, gave myself about 3 years of learning from different men. I learned from the French, I learned from the Indians, I learned from the Philippines, I learned from the Chinese, all those guys came in, the Italians, and I was working shoulder to shoulder with them, learning all the basics. And I stepped out, resigned, said, no, this is time up for me, now I need to go to another ship. So I sat back for about a year or two, and all I was doing was scripting ways, getting channels, seeing what I needed to do to bring this to and yeah, it just had to show up somehow. And anybody that was looking at our curriculum, our systems, our structures, to even our uniforms, just had this shock of, oh my God, where have you guys been? Are you guys in Uganda? Which country are you in? And I kept on thinking, now this is exactly what it should be. We should set up that picture that somebody goes like, wow, we have not seen this anywhere. Not in Kenya, in Tanzania, and not in South Africa, but it's here in Uganda. And yeah, we're doing it.
That is really nice. And I've had a privilege to just watch through your guys' Instagram and seeing the guys who are going through the program, all the activities you do. And I gotta say, like, it sticks out to me even from the description you guys have on your Instagram page, the corner at, it's not just about food on the plate, but putting life in what is on that plate. And you guys are 7-star shine. It's that means a lot, because most people, when they think about corner, it's just, oh, that's just food. But like, just bringing the life to the food, and that really means a lot. And the activities that you guys do, like I saw one of the videos when you did a team building, that was funny. The team building video that you guys did, it was funny, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoy all that. So what's the process of a person out there who wants to be a part of that, who, like my little cousin, who knows his dream is to learn or to like be equipped in culinary, like they have the dream. What's the process for kids like that or people like that to join what you do?
Well, here's the thing. It's quite simple. I always get to have a one-on-one with every scholar that comes to enroll with us, with the different programs that we have. What I get to ask them is, hey, what are you doing here? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I know these are questions that most people get to be asked, but for the culinary industry that is growing and that is as young as Uganda's industry is, the food industry is, it's at a mushrooming stage. And we know that in the next few years, we're going to have lots and lots and lots of food engagements on social media, on TV. It's going to be a network of chefs doing a number of things. Like, we have questions that I pass on to my fellow team and also to the students. I ask them, name about 5 dishes, Ugandan meals, that are on the map, you know, put before a competition somewhere, and somebody honors them and goes like, okay, there's this, there's that, and there's this, and there's that. Oh my God, there's this too. It's really so limited, very limited. And so we're in here, right here on the land, and go all the way back to Europe, sell what we have here. So we are generating the basics. We're generating the fundamental principles that guide us into what we are doing. So when these students come, I get to sit down with them and ask them, so what do you want to do? Do you want to be one of the bakers, one of the best pastry cuisine chefs, one of the best bolognese chefs? you've got to give something. When did you discover that you had a desire for this? And so the rest is simple, because you have quite a number. There's one, I was talking to one of the students today. When she joined, she has a hearing problem. When she joined, she was one of the weakest students in class. She didn't get it. She couldn't easily connect because she had a hearing problem. Now, she's literally like the best female chef in the country, if I would say. She is vibrant. She is energetic. She pushes herself. She has done crazy things that even those that have gone ahead of her cannot do. So for people that want to join, it begins with you have the passion for this. You understand what you're getting into. This kind of industry requires long hours. You're going to sit longer than long hours. You're going to work past the hour that you are needed to, you know, be at your station. So your mind and headset needs to be connected. But on top of that, the programs are quite affordable now. We have been, you know, taking on charges that have been increasing from the time we started. We started when we were about 5. Now the numbers are almost to 40 students. The reason why we do 10 per class is that we want every student to have a hands-on. The instructor or the chef takes every student on a step-by-step demonstration of what to do. Maybe just to get to answer that question. So it begins with the person, but also we are well prepared to receive him and more. Program that we have currently running is the certificate program. We call it the seven-star professional certificate course, which runs for a year.
Okay.
And introduces you to very deep cultural, primary, fundamental principles of doing culinary as a professional, nothing else. It's practical. The theory is just to, you know, guide you on if you're going to use, say, spices, how do you pair those spices with what? If I'm cooking chicken, what spices do I use on chicken? If I'm doing fish, what flavor does fish require? If I'm going to work with lamb, what are the herbs that I'm supposed to pair with lamb? So you get the experience working, then you rediscover yourself in it. Now let me just say this. I know this would come up without me forgetting. Every student in the institution has to write a cookbook. If I asked how many in Uganda,
No, I was gonna say I've never.
Exactly. The cookbooks that are in the shelves, say at a restock and any other bookstore, these are cookbooks that are written by lawyers that went into, you know, the passion of cooking and had some money on them and so decided to write a book. But now we are saying, hey, if you're in campus, if you wrote a dissertation book, this is going to be one book you have to make. Publish it, we'll have book signing, we'll have family celebrating. So that is a requirement for graduation.
Nice. Yeah, that's really good. And actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask about the cookbook, because I was going to bring it up at some point. But you're mentioning that most of this, like us growing up, you just see your parents just kuma choto and then throw some stuff there, but not really getting the best of like making like the really good food.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dansoft Gamers. Dansoft Gamers is the leading distributor of video games and other consumer gadgets like the podcast microphone sets, ring lights, headphones, and affordable smartwatches, and many other cool gadgets. For these and more, visit their website at www.dansoftgamers.co. That is www.dansoftgamers.co.
But without also me forgetting, there are two things that you touched upon that stuck out to me, and I want the listeners and other people to just maybe get out of what you said. When you mentioned about your own story, when you worked, and then there was, what do you call it? The resistance, like for you to when they kept chasing you back and forth, like, and then you kept coming back to show them that you really want it. You want the passion. You show the passion, and that's when you get to stand. So it's something that people really need, like, to all the listeners and my listeners, like, to remember that. Because also, when you were sharing that, I thought about it in my head. When I moved to the United States, I came to do aviation, to study, to work on airplanes. And the current job I have, when I applied to them, I didn't have the experience they were looking for, but I wanted the job. And they actually refused my resume, like, no, we're not going to hire you. And in my head, I'm like, should I just quit? Should I just go do something else? But I was like, no, show them that you want it. Show them that you want to be there. And that's what I did. I went to my boss. I'm like, yeah, I don't have the experience, but I want to be here and I'm going to learn and I'll get the experience. And that's how I got the opportunity to get the job. And now I work there. And it doesn't end, it doesn't stop there. Once you get the opportunity, you just keep on adding more to what you're showing. So that stuck out to me to remind the listeners and to remind the people, whatever situations they're in. Also, the other issue, the other point you made was the passion when I asked you about when people want to join the food. Like, don't go in there. I mean, you can go without knowing what you want and you pick it up from there, but do it because you love it. Like you said, you ask them, why are you here? What do you want to do here? If somebody does the cooking because they love it, they're going to get the best out of it. But if you do it because somebody's forcing you to do it, you're not going to get the best out of it. You're going to waste your time. So I wanted to put those out there for the listeners to pick up on that. What does somebody get out, like, once they get the certificate out of the training? What does that certificate offers to the person once they leave the institute? Like, what level will they be at, and what can they do with the certificate?
Well, many things. It's at liberty. You can choose to. We are certified currently by the land, Ministry of Education and Sports. So, meaning that education can literally get you any place, anywhere in the world, because we have had so many people travel to the Middle East. We have had people go to some of the well-renowned hotels and restaurants to work. We've also had some open up their own shops as businesses.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that now, because we are done with honoring the land, Uganda, and we have a relationship with the government on that, not directly, but in terms of registration. Now our next level is to go connect with other different accrediting companies, like maybe we'll start with South Africa. We already have contacts there. Channel up in Europe, go all the way to the US. That would be a nice one as well. Because you see, the thing is, there's a lot of competition in the Western world for this. You find a five-year-old has already connected to the culinary world so quick. They understand everything. They know what it is. They're using all these different tools and equipments that to a chef who has been 20 years in a hotel here in Uganda, if you showed him what a propane torch is, he will ask, what the hell?
Yeah.
Show him tweezers, is going to be like, what are those? Are they forks? But a five-year-old in the US who is maybe inspired by what's on TV, they literally know what these things are. So we are hoping that we can bring that home here. In the very, very near future, we'll be also kind of rounding up different chefs and giving them these different examinations that are set by an external body that can give them an opportunity to attain way higher qualifications to compete in the market world, Western world. But currently, anybody that finishes up with us is at liberty to do what they want. We have had some come do short courses and off they go. Mm-hmm. But it's being a practical world,
here's what I would say about that. What's on paper does not define what you can do. Because it being a practical world, somebody's going to want to understand what you can translate a tomato into. I'm going to give you an egg. One of the interviews we do give to our instructors is to make an omelette. Mm-hmm. It's an easy one, but it's a hard one. Or to even boil an egg five ways. Not one, yeah. Five ways. Boil me an egg five ways. If you can do that, then I'll give you the job. Yeah. But if you can't, then give the job. See, so some of the things that we are giving are really, really tense. They're very connected to each one that each one of our students and also the instructors. And we believe that the qualifications we give them are way more of connecting them to the systems of the world, even way much better. Mm-hmm. That in Uganda, we have so many exotic items coming in. Before, we didn't have lots of variety of cheeses, variety of olives to use. Even seafood was a hard one to get. Mm-hmm. But now we have quite a lot of seafood going around. So many exotic things around. And we're using most of it. And then we'll have local farmers, you know, farming some of these things. Yeah. So for us to explore what we have.
Yeah, that's a good, I make a point, because when I came back to Uganda last year, yeah, it was last year, my wife is American. She was born here. And we came back to Uganda and we wanted to make them tacos, like the Mexican tacos with. So we had the list of things we need. And they're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able, because when I was growing up, I didn't know any of that. And I didn't know where you can go to buy those. But after living in the US for a while, I was like, we knew what we wanted. And then we go to like the store that was it Quality somewhere. And then we found all the stuff that we use in the US to make tacos. Like we were able, and I was surprised with that. I didn't know we were going to find it, but it was all there. So that makes like, yeah, we're getting those stuff, and like the tortillas were there, like everything that we would need. And it was all in the store. So yeah, I'm happy to see like we're adapting to like more different things. And then the pizzas too. I think when I was little, I didn't know what a pizza was, like when I was younger in Uganda, but now we have those pizzas too, and like different styles of food. I just recorded an episode with another friend of mine. She's from the UK. And she was talking about, she was rating her five restaurants and five foods from Uganda. And she was telling me about the Mama Shawarmas from the cafeteria. Like the only thing I couldn't eat, I don't like oily stuff, but she mentioned about the Mama Shawarmas and like the Thai restaurants and all that. She likes food, so she's traveled a lot. I figured it would be a good episode to just pick her brains on the types of food that she likes. But yeah, she mentioned all these restaurants that are now coming up with different foods that people can get. And like when we come to Uganda too, like my wife tries to find some American restaurants where she can get like American food, and it's, you can find it like a lot of places. But yeah, I really appreciate to just pick your brains on that. I don't want to take a lot of your time, but before I let you go, I'll still ask a few questions. And one of the questions I like to ask people is like, what has been a life lesson like you've learned in life?
I think for me, in what I've heard and what I've gone through, I think one of the things is I've learned to let go. I've also learned how to meditate on things before they do happen, because there's a synchronicity in that. There are moments when you want to do something very quick, but it's not the right decision for that time. Here's the thing. It is the right decision, but not the right time. So you'd find yourself having to be very, very bold in being patient and also waiting on the right time. So some of the things that I have learned along the way is learning how to let go and not sticking myself onto one thing for so long. And the other is believing in men. Like, you've got to believe in a man. If, for instance, I'll give an example of recent when we had a very big deal to, we had a very huge challenge dealing with our staff. And I'm sure somebody else would wake up one morning and go like, hey, you're fired. You have 3 days or you have an hour, pack up your things and go. Mm-hmm. This is your notice. Please plan on it well and go. We just waited. We waited for it to happen. And as somebody came to me and asked me, how did you do this? Did you fire them? Did you tell them to go? I said, no. I'll be honest with you. I just waited for it to happen. I knew it was coming. So this person just got up one morning and said, I'm resigning. And I said, oh, when are you going? Because that was already done for me in my heart. I felt like I'd fired my heart. I was just waiting for it to happen. And the replacement was already there. So some of those life lessons to me is to just stick in there, be patient with men, but also learn how to let go when you've got to let go, because no man on this earth is irreplaceable. Like, you'd have somebody today and they're gone tomorrow. They're replaced immediately. So I have to thank God for each and everyone that we have around us. Yeah,
that is true, and that's a great life lesson, and people to remember that, like, you can be like, everybody's replaceable, like you mentioned it. What is something that gets you excited about life?
Jehovah Jireh. That's God. That's Yahweh. That's my Father. That's I am born again. And one thing that I hunger for every single second of my life is to know that God still speaks to me. He still loves me. He still instructs me. I can lose anything on this earth, but not the voice of God, not the relationship with God. Anything can burn away. Anything can, you know, turn into vapor. But cannot lose that place, because if I lose from nothing, I love, if you allow me, I love what the scripture says in Philippians 4:12, that the sufficiency I have is not of me, but of him. Like, there's that sufficiency that is within me, that is of God. And then it wouldn't make sense for me to live. So, yeah, that's my answer.
That is a deep answer, and you backed it up with a scripture, which makes it even a lot better. I like that, and I like when people know, like, God, you can lose anything, but you can't lose the love of God and your voice of God, like you said. And then the other question is going to be, who would you like to see on my podcast next? And you're going to have to help me get the person on the podcast. You're gonna connect me to the person.
Did this happen to me? Who connected?
I don't know. I don't think it happened to you. I don't know, because I think for you we just connected. I don't know if somebody recommended you. I need to ask, are you friends with any of the people I mentioned? Mosinguzi, Nabzer, or Chimera? Because I've had those on the podcast, Chimera 516. There's a musician, Chimera.
Or as a, like, friend.
Yeah. In my hobby. I think it might have come up through Chimera.
Could have come through. I can't think of one, but I think I would think of my wife. She has a lot to share. I don't know.
Yeah.
Marriage is a platform. Mm-hmm. She for marriage, and she had a big impact on YouTube with Wedded Bliss. Check it out. So much has gone in there, but also I know that she has spoken to so many couples about marriage and talked to them about a few things that affect marriage, married couples. I think that's the person I would speak out openly.
All right. Yeah. So I want to say thank you very much. I have less than a minute to end this, but I appreciate you just giving me this time to share and speak with me and just being accepting to say, hey, I don't know this guy, but I'll go on his podcast. So I really appreciate that. All right. So
thank you
very much, and we'll keep in touch.
Sande-san.
Karibu.
Hey there, my name is Bwana Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for listening and watching my podcast. Tune in every Saturday at 11 a.m. for a new episode on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, share, and we appreciate it. If you can, leave a feedback on our podcast, please. Thank you very much.